Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, and we're here with Neil and me, myself, Kristen. Neil is in a bit of a bratty mood today. So, are we ready to behave like an adult for the show?
You know, I always one of my heroes was Spanky.
Oh, really?
And Spanky was a little tough kid that. The Little Rascals. Have you ever watched The Little Rascals?
I didn't really, no. Oh, I mean, I've watched because you made me watch. And they're funny, yes.
Oh, they're funny. You know, he did one where he babysat these babies.
Yeah, I know you like that episode.
And he talks about, he tells these kids that he's babysitting. He was only like 3 years old himself. A story about Tarzan. And if you go on the internet, go watch for Spanky's babysitting episode where he talks to all these babies about Tarzan. And you'll see one of the best acting for little kids, most natural scene. It's really funny. Anyway,
so we're doing our show now on a good foot here. So I'll trust that we will be behaving for the duration. Callers that have not spoken with us before. I see there are a couple of private callers that I'm not sure if they're callers we have talked to in the past. We just want to let you know that we do get to calls at about 15 to 20 minutes after the show. So after the show begins, can someone hang up? So I guess they don't want to wait.
They don't like spanking.
They don't like waiting. Maybe. I don't know. But we will get to your calls at that point, and we do calls in the order that they are received, so please be patient. We try to reach every single caller that calls into the show. So everybody will be getting a reading that's currently in the queue. We invite you to follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio and connect with us on Facebook, on Twitter, and those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. Today, 562-596-7818 is Neil's number, and I want to just get right into it because we're starting a little late today. Neil, we're talking about universal soul versus the earth soul, which is a strange concept because, you know, we assume that we have one soul, but perhaps there are two parts to that one soul. Tell us. The universal soul and the earth soul.
Well, we have one soul, but like it's multi-layered, just like human beings are multi-layered. And
excuse me.
So souls are multi-layered. When we talk about the difference between universal soul and worldly soul, the universal soul is more or less attached to spirit. Basically, it has a close association to spirit. But the universal soul is more or less the active soul that is going on between lifetimes when we actually leave the physical body and the soul and the spirit are connected.
So, go on, sorry.
Well, let me finish. The soul and the spirit are connected. And in that connection, the soul is holding the content of all the past lives that it's been connected to as it's getting ready to either come back to the earth to go into the worldly soul of its next mission, or it's actually going to transcend into the spirit, and the spirit and the soul are going to become more or less where the spirit predominates. That's the universal soul. when it becomes a worldly soul, then then that soul with all that content goes down to a specific body, starts to work out with the idea in mind, a singular kind of existence for a while.
So the universal soul is essentially, we don't want to say diluted, but it's concentrated into that one
lifetime,
form
yeah.
and lifetime.
So that one lifetime is actually, it's a containment of holding, it's like a chip. It's containing all the energy into one singular existence. When you move out of the body and you're in the astral realm, between lifetimes or ascending into the spirit, then there is no singularity involved. There's no singularity.
Right, and the universal soul has total awareness of all the lifetimes, whereas the earth soul normally, unless you're extremely enlightened, does not have that awareness.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Okay, well,
so
that's our show today.
Yeah.
We're done.
But if you understand that concept, even though we are all of us in a singular existence, so to speak, with multidimensional attitudes, of course, but we are still we're not talking about time, space, and all this stuff, and alternative existences and parallel universes. Right now, we're just, for the sake of our conversation, saying that we are in a singular existence. And so we're dealing with our worldly soul, because the soul is now what? Attached to the earth.
Right.
So it's a worldly soul. And that worldly soul is now going to be impacted by, of course, the karma of all the lifetimes, all part of what's going on in that individual's life as he or she is walking through it. So we deal with the worldly soul. Now, the worldly soul, why has it become complicated? Because the worldly soul, unlike the universal soul, is going to have to deal with ego. Our identity, who we are, what makes us up.
The worldly soul has to do with ego.
Yeah.
But there's some connection. I mean, would you say that there's some connection to the ego and the universal soul, because the connection to all of the planetary journeys? I'm not saying that the soul has an ego on the universal level, but content of the soul contains all those lifetimes, which ego was involved in.
I wouldn't say that the universal soul has an ego. I would say that the universal soul holds karma. So it's like,
that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I wasn't saying that if you rewound the tape, you would hear me say, I'm not saying the universal soul has an ego, but it holds the content of the ego journeys on the planet. So there's, in that way, it's the karma that the universal soul contains, especially if it's returning to the planet.
Well, somewhat, because when you apply the word ego at any time to the universal soul, you're confusing the whole makeup of the universal soul.
I see what you're saying.
It becomes a word that shouldn't be
applied. I understand.
The ego is best applied
to the world soul.
When you get into the universal soul, the ego isn't there. The learning experience.
The perception of the ego experience is there.
Well, the perception is there. But what the universal soul does is it goes into a deep learning process as to how they've been conducting their existences. And without the ego there can be a fuller understanding of the journeys on the planet. Now, if the soul has to return to the planet, it will build into that journey another ego. So does a universal soul have an ego?
No.
You know, ego comes from id, ego, superego. Those were ego. Those were captured specifically by the Freudian term, but it goes further back in time. But the ego itself is the essence of our human expression. And when you're in a soul world, you're not a human.
Right.
You're a soul. So you can't apply to a universal soul. It's universal because it's capturing the existences of life, but it's not in the body anymore, so it doesn't have an ego. But the consciousness of a universal soul
can absorb all the lifetimes and all the, and then hopefully when the soul incarnates into the human body on the next journey, then the lessons of the ego can be applied to that lifetime once the soul enters the body. That was my point.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've belabored the point a little long.
That's true. The other aspect of when you're in the universal soul, most entities acknowledge the lessons that have to be learned before they go return to the planet. There are those universal souls, though, that are in rebellion, just like the angels were in rebellion. A universal soul can be in rebellion and say, I don't care about learning lessons. I'm going back to the planet. I'm going to be a bad boy, bad girl since I get down.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can actually experience on the universal plane a soul that is in disharmony with itself.
And with the astral, that's really, then you would think that would be a condition of the ego to have that rebellion. You think that once a soul was on a universal plane, that the awareness would be much higher than if they were in the body.
If we ascribe to the element of biblical text, Satan had an ego. The angel, the fallen angels have egos. I'm using terminology, but what I'm saying is that a soul can be in disharmony.
A soul that is not incarnate can be in disharmony.
How do you explain it? Because there is a duality. Even in the creation of the planet, there's a duality. There's no consistency. People can say, well, love is consistent. If love isn't consistent. What are you talking about? Love is a responsibility that has to be worked at, but it just doesn't come consistently. Now, there are maybe those individuals that will say, oh, I'm pure love. But I would beg to differ. If that's a nice aspiration, and that's a state of blissfulness that I think that only the spirit can fully express. But prior to being purely in the spirit, we are living in the experience of being a human being. Now, there are extraordinary human beings that have a vast capacity to forgive and love, totally vast. And I think those are people who are in touch with spirit. But until they enter the spirit realm, it can't be fully actualized because of this concept of mortality. And so as long as we are in a realm of mortality on a singular level, because we all know that mortality leads to immortality. So there's a sequence of events. But as far as the expiration of a individual breath and an individual lifetime, there's only so many expansions of the ego or the mind or the spirit that we can accomplish. It's limiting until we cross over. But that's the concept. So the worldly soul is still valuable to us, but it's more of a lower grade system of the soul than a higher grade.
Well, we were talking in our show description about spiritual existences on other planes. And as we've talked about on the show before, there can be other lifetimes in other dimensions, other lifetimes that are actually physical lifetimes. Worldly lifetimes not connected to the planet Earth. So, in that regard, Neil, when we come back to the Earth repeatedly and we're involved in our earthly sets of incarnations, do we, after we are done with the Earth plane, go have other lifetimes on other planets?
We have to define those other planets. Are there concepts of love on those planets? Is it unconditional love? Or is it conditional? On our planet, we have conditional love. When we strive for unconditional love, we talk more about the spirit. So on other planets, we may not have to go to a 9-to-8 job. We may not have to get married.
9-to-5.
What's that song, 9-to-8, working 9-to-8?
No,
that's
9-to-5.
9-to-8. I don't know.
I don't know.
So the concepts that we have, we tend to think that our worldly concepts are going to be the same concepts that are applied to other planets. Well, our minds can imagine how other planets may operate, how other existences may operate, but I don't think we're fully prepared to really understand how other existences operate. We can only use our finite mind to do that.
Of course
so
not.
I'm not really prepared to say exactly what is the definition of love on another planet. It may be very different. It may not even be such a concept. If we're talking about heaven, of course, there's an application to that word in heavenly conversation. But if we're talking about other planets, other solar systems, love may not be needed. It may not be a concept on that planet. So, but that's basic Twilight Zone stuff. Those are our science fiction plots that we've been developing throughout eons. So.
Okay. Do you want to continue a little longer, then we're going to get to our callers?
No, we can get to
We have
now.
A couple minutes if you want to say something else.
If somebody wants to have raise a hand and ask a question now, if they want to listen,
They have their hands raised.
Okay,
there are people with their hands raised.
Their questions.
Okay. We can always get back to this a little later in the show. 303, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Joy.
Hi, Joy. You know, our callers are loud and clear today, so that's good.
That's good.
Off on a good foot. Joy, what's your location and birthday, please?
I live in Colorado. My birthday is 2/15/71.
Okay. And what's your question? I don't think we've spoken before. 818.
My question is, I recently took a training to run workshops with, and one of the participants who I was in the training with, we decided to do a workshop together. Now I'm having a little bit second thoughts. It's going to be November, and I'm thinking, like, her style is very different than mine. She's very, like, she doesn't go by the book. She's very spontaneous. I'm more structured. I'm afraid she's going to take over, and I'm going to...
Oh, no.
So I'm just wondering what you're seeing regarding that.
Do you have a birth date for this individual by any chance? Joy?
No.
Okay. All right. That's okay. We don't need it necessarily, but it would be, you know, further information that could be used. But Neil?
Well, you know, whenever you form a partnership with somebody, you have to already assume that there might be problems, or maybe if there isn't problems, there might be ensuing problems. And problems isn't something that you necessarily have to run from. It might be that that's part of the learning experience. It sounds like the two of you are getting into a training workshop. Is this for healing and all that kind of thing?
Yes.
Body work and...
Not so much body work, but healing.
Healing? Well, you see, the idea... It's difficult, Joy, because one, you're trying to enter a field where you're not supposed to really have an ego, and there's supposed to be a relaxing element between the two of your psyches.
That's true.
If there's a clash going on and you're thinking that she's trying to control things or change things, and it's not in your line of the flow of your kind of energy you're doing, you may want to stop before you start. Because that clash can, especially if there's already ego concerns, and what I mean by that is just your own human concerns, then it may not be a good idea because, you know, people can ruin things. Whether they're singular or plural, people can ruin things. And so it's difficult. Now, I'm not sure without getting, you know, having more information about this person, what the journey's about. But let me ask you something, Joy. Do you have two siblings? How many siblings do you have?
Yes, two. That's right.
Two. See, I don't know you, and I'm already picking up that you have two siblings. And I think that as I dive deep into the molecular structure of your question, I'm coming up with a value of information. And that information, first of all, says to me, Joy has two siblings. Now, how those two siblings connect to this current concern, I'm not sure, but they might be some casual link, and casual means subtle, link to your two siblings. Do you get along with your siblings?
I love my siblings. They're older than me, and I think they look at me as they're a lot older than me. So I think I was always, my voice wasn't heard.
Yeah, we're actually
family.
Having a problem hearing your voice right now because you talk right into
the... I feel like my voice isn't really heard sometimes in my family, and because I'm a lot younger than my siblings.
Older, so there's an age gap. Is that what you're saying, Joy?
Yeah, there's a big age gap.
Big age gap. So it's...
Yeah. So, you see, that's karmic. Because if you're born into a family where there's a rather large age gap, I guess there is an age gap, but there is also an age gap, and you're not really heard, or you feel like you're not really heard. Now we're dealing with the karma that you came into the earth with, which involves the karma you may have with this individual, or the karma you're carrying.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well,
yes. I know,
okay, so
but I feel like there's a learning, like you said, there could be something that I could learn from it. Like I don't trust myself to just go with the flow, and she's very go with the flow type of person. So I think I could learn from her in that way, but I also could think that she's just going to take over.
Well,
so.
You're using an action verb that's disturbing to me, and that's fear. I'm afraid. You said it now twice. I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. So now let's take that word out of context and deal with the way you deal with fear. What are you afraid of? You're afraid of being overwhelmed. You're afraid of losing your identity.
Right.
And you're afraid of having power or being acknowledged with power. So now we got to look at that, you see, Joy, and figure out why that's not a rational fear. That's irrational. You know, rational fear, you jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Irrational, I'm afraid of not being heard. It's irrational. So first of all, you've got to eliminate your fear. And you eliminate your fear by either dissecting it, inspecting it, exploring why you have it, or you just say, the heck with it. I don't have time for that. I'm just going to get rid of it. I no longer will say the word that I'm afraid of going into a healing training session with this woman, that I too will go with the flow and learn how to speak up along with her and work out the ins and outs of that process. Now, that would be your most direct, cheapest way of doing it. And you learn by trial and error, and you just go out and do it. Otherwise, you're going to need a trainer yourself to establish how to be strong in a legitimate world of human interaction. Just because, what are you asking her not to be strong? You know, you really have to start to think about this. And legitimately so, a person who's strong, you don't want them to be arrogant. A person who's strong, you don't want them to have the inability to listen and to cooperate. And if you're dealing with a dictator, well, dictators are meant to be overthrown, not to be ruled under. So I don't know, you know, your ultimate journey is going to be a little bit crazy, but hopefully progressive. And that would take, you know, for me, it would take a further in-depth reading, or you figure it out on your own, or you go to somebody else, or you go and talk to her about it. But as I'm thinking through what you're saying, and I catch on pretty quick, I just think that it's a process, Joy. Your master number is 8, and you're meant to do this work. So what happened at the age of 26?
What did you ask me? What happened?
What happened at the age of 26, Joy? What happened when you were 26 years old, which would have been 97?
Mm-hmm. My mom got sick.
My mom got sick.
Yeah, I see. So I'm dealing with a diversity of female energy, power, powerless. And you come in with that karma to face. The powerful female as opposed to the impotent, or the, not impotent, but the
disempowered female.
Disempowered female.
Okay.
This can be worked out. This is not a difficult matter, but the complexity of it is inviting, and the seriousness of it is of course concerning, because it has to do with your evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, but I can see the path. I can see what path you're on, just in speaking to you for a few minutes.
Yes. It's about owning my power.
Owning your power and maybe understanding why you have to own it. I mean, what happened? Somewhere back in a past life, somewhere manifesting in this lifetime, you lost it. So why do you have to come back? And maybe you abused it at one point, maybe at the way you used to be.
Okay. I think I'm going to do the workshop with her and try to figure out my place in it and how I could hold my power. Yeah. So thank you.
All right, Joy, thank you so much for your call. For further questions, 562-596-7818. And Joy and all of our other listeners and callers can join us right here on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook. Okay, we have a private caller without their hand raised. I'm going to check in with them and see if they'd like to speak with us. Are you there, caller? Hello? No. I guess they're just listening. We're getting the silent treatment. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Deanna, they didn't have their hand raised, so they probably didn't want to be identified. Hi, Deanna. Did you want to speak with us, or are you just listening?
Both.
Okay, both. You're listening and wanting to speak.
Yes. I came up with a reason that why my numbers were 42 instead of 33, and I wanted to tell you what that was.
Okay, go ahead. And could you speak really loud, please, because you're faint.
Oh, loudspeaker. Is that better?
Are you on speakerphone?
Now I am. Before I was not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's so good. But anyway, okay, go ahead. How did you get 42?
The reason is that I was told not to reduce the 11 to 2. That's why I'm coming up with 42 instead of 33.
Oh, I see.
What?
I don't know. It's hard to hear her. But, I mean, even if you don't reduce the 11.
What's her birthday?
It's 11/8/49. Are you there?
Right.
Yeah, we can't hear you at all.
Can you hear me?
Not well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can't change the phone. Sorry about that.
It's something with your phone. So you're 11. Okay, I'm adding it up to see if I come up with 42. 11 plus 8 is 8, 9, 10,
42
20,
is still
33, 6.
Like
yeah, it's a
6.
She's adding the 11 to making a 19, 29 plus 13 is 42. Yeah. Yeah, you have to add each number singly.
Right, because I was always told 11 and 22 do not reduce those. And
we always reduce. Yeah, we reduce
right.
11 and 22 always. That's not really the principles that the numerology that we do is based on. But, you know, there's others, yes, I know, that don't reduce 11, 22 because they call them quote-unquote master numbers. But we don't,
exactly.
Master numbers for us are 1 through 9.
But I just wanted to let you know because we couldn't figure out what the difference was. And the other day I figured it out. I also wanted to ask you if you did a program on Monday because I went to listen to the podcast and it wasn't there.
Oh, I'll check on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Monday broadcast.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll check on it.
Okay.
And other than that, I still have not gone in to put in for the job. Today is the 30th. It is open until filled, but preferably submitting the application today. So I don't know what to do. I really want to recover financially, but there comes that word, fear the possible experience if I go back to work there, because it was quite uncomfortable for me.
So I'm sorry, Deanna, explain again, because like, I don't know, maybe if you're off speakerphone, it would help you hear us because we're having a very difficult time hearing. Very challenging.
I am talking now. Okay. I have not put in for the job vacancy that I wanted to apply for.
You did not apply.
Not yet. It is open until filled, but preferably those who apply by today. And I'm wondering why I am dilly-dallying so much. It was uncomfortable for me to deal with my boss, always. And at the same time, I would recover financially in a jiffy. It would be such a quick recovery if I were to get the job and start doing it. I just don't trust myself enough. What's up with me? And I am approaching the 66 very soon, so I don't know.
Well, sometimes, Deanna, timing is of the essence. So it could be that the timing, intuitively speaking, your timing has to wait for a certain element of date or the even the subtle evolving of your spirit. So it could be that, sometimes days and times and hours do apply. And I'm not suggesting that that's what's going on, but that could be one explanation why you're waiting. That would be a purposeful explanation. If you were waiting because you're fearful or you're not sure about something, well, that wouldn't be the healthiest way of looking at hesitating. And if there's something that that's bothering you karmically about the situation, or if you're in conflict with truly transcending and you're your own worst enemy, well, again, this would have to be resolved in your psyche so you can move forward and not feel in such a quagmire about where you're at. Because it sounds like you're right now, a lot of your dialogue is in battle. You're battling with yourself over wanting something and then not getting it. Wanting something, not getting it. So you're in an internal battle, as far as I can see, and that can be endless. But somewhere, something inside of you has to say, I'm not going to battle. So you take a risk, you take a chance, you move forward, and you start to dance spontaneously towards your goal, dealing with each step as it comes along the way. That's what I think you should do. So if you're asking me, and I'm talking this out in my own brain, I would say to apply and assert. The two big A's, apply, assert, and
okay.
Be assertive.
Because maybe
I don't
not
think
today, maybe tomorrow.
That. Okay, well then do it. I mean, I'm not coming up with any psychic valid reason why you shouldn't be. And I can't get into your psyche and figure out why you're not doing it for some legitimate reason of timing. It sounds to me like it's a block that maybe is there, but you should unblock it by being assertive. Go and apply, quit worrying about your age, quit worrying about it. Quit dwelling
no,
on it.
No, I'm not so much worrying about the age. I'm worrying about the person I need to work with. She's been such a difficult.
This
yeah.
is kind of like the last caller. I mean, in terms of
well,
workplace conflict.
You
and
know,
the workplace, and the workplace is a place of issues. So, it helps to have like a good teammate when you are dealing with issues day in, day out, because that's what my work is about.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. But, we would have never left the womb if we thought that the earth was going to always work with us.
Yeah,
who would ever want to leave? We'd stay in there and never come out. So, to me, conflict can be conflict can be seduced. Conflict can be redeemed. You can evolve conflict into cooperation. So to me, conflict is part of, is what makes the plot work. You know, oftentimes people say it's not a good story. There's no conflict. It's kind of lackluster. So we need conflict. But that isn't to say that I'm wishing that you work with somebody that's obnoxious. I mean, I want, you know, it's nice to have harmony, but don't be afraid of conflict.
She was obnoxious. I mean, just that would be putting it mildly, Neil. Obnoxious. So combative, you know, irritable. And that's what, you know, is my fear, basically. Because if I knew that she was gone, I would go there in a snap.
Well,
but
that
knowing that I have to deal, but that's good.
But that is a problem. That is a problem, Deanna. I mean, I don't want you to work with somebody who's obnoxious. Nobody wants to do that. And it's best to avoid it and move on and find another arena. But that's not to say that if you go work there, maybe she'll leave. So
well,
I don't know.
I think she will leave.
She's
reaching retirement age herself.
Yeah. Well, give it a try. And if it's your only option right now, take it. And if you find another one, you can always change.
Yeah. I do appreciate it. But I looked for your program. All the updates come up. That did not. And I wanted to let you know that because they've changed the podcast situation in BTR. There have been a lot of changes.
Really?
Yeah. It did not come up. I tried four times and it didn't come up. So look into it because I was interested in hearing it.
We definitely
thank
will.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I don't know whose birthday it was last week, but may it have been happy. I know it was one of you.
Oh, it
one
was
of
Neil's
the two
birthday.
Of you.
No, it wasn't.
She knows it's on Facebook.
Oh,
my birthday is not on Facebook, so
I don't
want
like anybody knowing my birthday. I don't know how it got out there.
Well,
it
was Neil's birthday.
You see. Well, happy.
I've got to see the background on that one.
But thank you
well,
for the birthday.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And let us know. God bless. Bye. Okay.
Bye.
We've got one caller left. What are you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, you have a grin on your face, an obnoxious grin.
Oh, I was just thinking of Sheriff John. I met him on my birthday, and he didn't wish me a happy birthday, and I think I have karma. I'm wounded by that. I should go into therapy.
All right, go into therapy for like 5 years and try to work that out.
Sheriff John. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Let's bring on.
Bully.
Good morning, Nathaniel. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
How's
it going?
Good.
He's 5157-2810-1. What's up?
Just thought I'd call in to see if I could get a general message.
Okay, a general message.
You know what? You know what I'm getting with you? I'm getting the symbol of a yo-yo. Did you ever learn how to operate a yo-yo?
A long time ago, when I was a kid, sure.
Yeah, we're not that far apart in age. I'm a little bit older than you, but yeah, yo-yos were kind of a big thing. In the 50s and 60s, you know, I don't see kids with yo-yos today, but yo-yos were, there was a time when they came out with a new yo-yo and it was plastic and you can do all kinds of things with it. The old yo-yos were wooden. So maybe it's an attitude of,
It used to be quite a hit. There used to be a lot of kids, you know, I mean, they had no computers then and people would really, be wizards at that yo-yo. They'd pick up the string and make it walk and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I know. And the yo-yos got real stylistic. They were all kinds of weird yo-yo colors and So,
I remember they used to make a lot more yo-yos back in whatever year, you know, 1970 or so.
Yeah.
I had a yo-yo for a while. I did not do well with it.
I was about a B minus. I wasn't all that great with it either. But
you
I mean,
can, I remember like it comes with a pamphlet and you can do tricks.
Yeah, you can do tricks, and it's actually it's quite an amazing instrument toy because there's skills involved and speed and accuracy. So I would say, and then you know, then it became a phrase. You know, oh, you're yo-yoing. You know,
yeah,
in other
right.
words, you don't know what you're doing. You're wishy-washy. Wishy-washy just means like a broken down washer that doesn't, it goes through one cycle and it gets stuck. So maybe what the message for you today, Nathaniel, is to speed things up, to not be wishy-washy, to not yo-yo, to learn a new trick, a new trade of your essence. So that would probably be my message for you. And maybe you have to reach back into your childhood and say, what was the fastest point? What was the fastest time of my life? When was I most active? What was the year when I was really on top of things?
Yeah.
You know? So I would say to do a little bit of journey into your past, figure out your most active year of your life, and from there, try to recapture it.
Cool. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, try that. You know, there was an old Twilight Zone called Kick the Can, and it was all these old seniors that they believed that they played Kick the Can, they would turn into children again. And so like 8 of them went out at night and played Kick the Can, and one of them who was really cranky said, I'm not going to do that. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. He didn't play Kick the Can, and the other old seniors did. And during the night, they turned into children. And he went out and saw all of his old senior friends playing Kick the Can as children. And he begged now to play, but it was too late for him. So don't let it be too late. Don't let it be too late.
Okay, Nathaniel.
Hey, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Okay, bye-bye. All right, Neil, we've got a caller from 954 area code. Hi there.
Hello. This is Valerie, 72064. I've called in before.
Valerie. 5064, you say. Yes, Valerie. I know who you are from Florida.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're doing okay.
Good.
She's 29112. What's going on? Nice to hear from you.
You were talking about chakras last week, so I was wondering, some of the callers last week, Neil was saying, well, you have a blocked second chakra or whatever. So I was just wondering, I guess, how my chakras were, if you saw any big blocks. And how is it, Neil, are you telling people about their chakras by the sound of their voice or energy you feel or see? And what's the best way if someone has something blocked, other than calling you and getting it unblocked, is it something they can do themselves? Is there a tried and true method that you would recommend?
Well, you know, I mean, the way that I analyze a chakra can be by the tone of the voice. I can, by the tone of the voice, I can feel where there's a block in a chakra. Yeah. That's just from in the energy of the beholder, of my own interpretive skills. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can actually sense where the chakra problem is by visualizing the chakras and seeing where there's a clog, where something's causing a barrier or something. So that can be a situation. You can also analyze chakra energies from all kinds of different areas of a person's life through dialogue, their birth date, things like that. But so that's the ways that it can be done, Valerie, in terms of trying to figure out how I personally analyze a chakra system in a person.
Okay. So do you see any major blockages with me?
Well, I think, I mean, the answer is, I think on the radio show last week, there was a caller that had asked, well, do I have any chakras blocking a relationship? But, you know, as we were saying on the show, Valerie, most people have blocks in their chakras, most people, the general majority. So usually, unless someone's totally enlightened and balanced, they're going to have something. I mean, what do you think, Neil? In Valerie, are you picking up something?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I am, actually.
Okay.
You see, there's a...
Good news. No.
Oh, no.
Now, I know you're 51. Okay. Uh-huh. So we'll pass the literal translation of what's going on in the second chakra. The second chakra is your birth chakra, your sacral chakra. But... So it's not like you're waiting to give birth or something, but that chakra, Valerie, holds other definitions, more highly defined definitions, creativity, expression, a kind of a rebirthing of your own higher self. You have a block in your second chakra. Now it might be a previous wound in chakra that would be maybe revealed through a history, an investigation of your history, giving birth in that chakra, sexuality pertaining to that chakra, relationships that could still be manifesting blockage, even though you're well past the event itself. But I think that the second chakra, I'm sensing a blockage in there.
And it's not always going to be pertaining to the master number. She happens to be a two and has the two in her birth
date. Oh, that's right. She's a two.
Yeah. So it's not always going to be
congruent
with that. But in her case, yes. And she has a zero next to the two in her day.
Yeah.
Maybe it's hereditary because it was my sister that called in last week with a blocked second chakra. So maybe in the family.
Is she really? What's your sister's name?
Barb. It was Barb from New York.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, I think she called, yes.
With the relationship,
Yeah, and there were two Barbs that day, I remember. And they're both interesting, yeah.
Are you currently in a relationship, Valerie?
Yeah, I'm married. Mm-hmm.
She's married.
Mm-hmm. Married?
I think. You're still married, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just asking questions. Is a marriage a good marriage, a bad marriage, mediocre?
It's fine, I guess, yeah. I mean, we're not having major issues or anything.
Did you have children?
No.
Did you have children?
No. Can you hear me? No.
We can't hear you. Sorry.
Oh,
you don't
sorry.
Have children? That's okay.
No.
It's probably the radio, the blog talk's all messed up. So sometimes things cut out. So she doesn't have any children.
No children?
No children.
We can't hear her again.
Oh, dear.
No children. No children. Right?
Yeah,
no children.
This is picking up on some of the blockage. Did you ever want children?
No. Mm-mm.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
Huh. Well, I don't know. There's something in there, Valerie, that I don't want to open up an issue that you're thinking, you're way off. I don't know where you're going with this. I don't want to find a loose, a red herring. But on the other hand, if there's something in there that without manipulating dialogue, if there's something in there that's truly touching upon, that could be an answer to your question, do I have a blockage in any chakra? I say, yeah, the second. And I'm trying to figure out why I said that.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it commands a certain list of questions that I'm asking. Is your father deceased?
No.
No parents deceased?
Nope, they're both still alive.
I don't know.
Is there a death in this husband, maybe? So is your husband's parents both? Or is your husband's
father-in-law passed away.
That's probably what you're
Were you close to him?
No. I don't think I was, no. I mean, he was hard to get close to. I mean, there wasn't...
Valerie, do you have do you think you're a person that builds close ties with people, or do you remain kind of aloof a little bit?
I think I'm pretty open and friendly. I don't know how close, but I mean, I'm certainly friendly and open, I think. But I mean, as far as letting people really in, I'm not sure about that, but I think I'm an open kind of person.
I don't know. You know, it's intriguing. I think what I'm with you in this reading is I'm in the process of exploring something because I got a sense of a blockage there. Now, I don't know verbatim where I'm going yet myself. I don't know yet. And I don't want to follow something that isn't true because I don't want to play those games. But I'm getting something. Did you have a good relationship with your mom and dad?
Yeah.
I don't know yet, Valerie. I don't know yet. It's intriguing me. Oftentimes I'm baffled, and I don't know what it is yet. And I don't want to create something that isn't there. You asked me a question. I felt something in your second chakra. May I ask you a person? Oh, God, this is a radio show. Did you ever, were you ever pregnant? If you can, you don't have to answer it. Were you ever pregnant?
No.
I don't know. I don't know yet what it is. I don't know. But you know what? Why I'm caught? Because something's telling me to not leave that premise, that location. And I don't know what it is yet. I just don't know. Have you ever had any medical problems there?
Not that I know of, but...
Yeah. See, I'm getting no's on everything, and so I'm baffled. but I don't, Valerie, I can't get out of there yet.
Yeah.
I don't like
the color orange, but I mean, I know that's the color of it.
Well,
never been a
you don't
favorite
like the
of mine.
Color orange. Did you, were you ever, I don't know, you know, I don't know. Were you ever, when you were growing up, did you have social issues? Did you have female issues? Were you not happy being a female? Did you have problems with boyfriends, anything? Were you ever teased, ridiculed?
I mean, I was a tomboy kind of thing, but...
You were a tomboy?
Yeah, I was like the third girl, and then my parents had three girls. So... Maybe my father wanted me to be a boy. I don't know.
No. Okay. You know what? Okay. Let's just sit for that. That's the beginning of something that is intriguing me. Mm-hmm. And I'm being objective. But you're the third girl. Your father was wanting a boy. And he didn't get a boy. Well, of course, he loved you. But you became a tomboy. I don't know where that name, you know, Tomcat, Tom. I don't know why Tom got to be associated with the girl, but nonetheless, you emulated and somewhat assimilated a process of being a kind of girl with a tomboyish physicality, mm-hmm. and that might have carried out in your journey as some form of psyche element in who you are and what you are. Now, I don't know. I'd have to go into more depth to analyze why that would, where that connected to your femininity, if at all, because women can be totally feminine and tomboys, but that would be a question I would ask. If you're asking and intrigued by the very premise of chakra blockage.
Okay. And, you know, just incidentally, Barb, Valerie's sister, also has tutus, her first and last, and her birth date. She's not a two by master number, but.
Yeah, you know, it's an intriguing, I think it's more of an elitist question here to the extent that it, you know, it's not like something bearing down on her soul. It's more like if you have the time and the interest to explore your chakra systems. I think in Valerie's case, that would be the issue. And maybe there'd be some intriguing bits of information that would come out, but it doesn't seem to be like life concerning issue.
Right. Right. That's at least, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Valerie. Well, we thank you for your call.
Okay. Thank you, Neil and Kristen. Okay, I appreciate
care.
It. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Neil, we're out of callers, and I think we're going to wrap up now. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right. We'll see you all next week, Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.